Father, we're thankful for a good year and a good quarter and for the opportunities that we've had to look in your book and give the Holy Spirit that opportunity to take your word, his word, and to apply it to our lives. It's always a blessing to have that privilege that is ours. You not only gave us an instruction manual, but you gave us the one who wrote it so we can not only understand it, but then we can have it applied in our lives and make it not just information, but rather experience. And may that be what happens in this class. And we will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're bottom of chart, page 100. And so we're just about exactly where I wanted to be. We've gone through the world system. The chart on 100 does a little bit of an analysis as to how the elements of the world system are designed to control the various works of the flesh. And I put them, you know, the ones that were very obvious. And when you look at these, you can think about it, and I'm sure you would maybe want to add others. It's interesting, lists of this kind are experience-oriented. When you make a list, you think through it, and your mind is always somewhere with somebody or something. And so some of them are very logical, but some of them aren't. And so that just kind of capstones it so we can understand the way there is this relationship. Our enemies are considered to be independent of one another, but they are not. They're totally dependent. The enemies don't work well without other elements. I mean, it's the satanic world system. It's not just the world system. It just didn't happen to be. It was designed by an intelligent being of lesser intelligence, but yes, an intelligent being. And it was designed because, and here we're kind of reviewing, because there was a sin nature that Satan did not understand would develop into the kinds of evil that are involved. I was working this afternoon. In fact, that's not quite the excuse for my being a little late. I was trying to finish the basic outline material for Sunday. And I was working in 2:14 of 2 Peter, or 2, now let's read 2:11 through 14. And you have the word sin in the singular there. And the question is, you know, is this an issue where it's an unbeliever and their quality of sin nature is involved, that it's a pure singular, so to make the acts of sin, and some will translate a plural, and I didn't have time to go and check the textual apparatus tonight. I kind of hoped that when I got home afterwards, I could spend enough time to tickle the keyboard, get the outline up, and then to do some auxiliary work that I need to do. I have to take a trip off into Jude for that. But it was interesting, sin nature. Those false teachers we talk about there, they're functioning just in their sin nature, I believe. I think there are plenty of counts down through that passage, and we will track it and compile it at the end of the chapter. There's a lot of discussion. Are these believers that are just carnal, or are they unsaved men? I believe they're unsaved men. The problem is the dealing with the matter of the Lord that bought them. Or having, you know, well, we'll get there. That's not tonight. Okay, key verse for us in understanding the world system. We go through the elements of the world system, and so we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there's a balance here that we need to remember. It becomes subjective for many believers when they understand this verse. And I've mentioned before, there are believers who try to see how far they can go without crossing the line. And so some of them like to take the line and scoot it over a little so they can do things that they want to do. And so this verse is one of those, because it says, "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world is passing away." And so you have this concept of use a world, not misuse it. And I'm following the AV there when we look at it. And it's in an ongoing set of comparisons. And when you look at the word use, that's not a bad translation. There is a proper way to use it. You cannot live without the world system. If you want some testimony to some of the issues of that, you can talk to those people. I guess we won't be able to talk to them in the last part of the tribulation period when they don't have the mark of the beast. And the world system is not going to permit them to have anything, and they're going to barely survive. Human survival will be something very unique without the world system. And it becomes very interesting when you think of that matter. And so we are really very dependent upon it. It's I kind of smile because I have a little cache of water. And I have gallon jugs of water that are stashed in my garage, and I don't know how many there are anymore. Pat decided it would be a smart thing to have some pure water around when Mount St. Helens went. So those jugs have been in my garage for 25, 26 years. That's why I don't know the number. I know where they are. But I had kind of smiled. Is that water? That water should have been pure enough to be no problem. It might not taste so good. Those glass jugs. But that was, she was quite concerned about that. And so we did that, and I never have done anything with them in that matter. We almost put 5 gallons, and containers we had of 5 gallons would have, they were plastic, they weren't, and they probably wouldn't have done us very good. And so there are enough there to dribble here and dribble there, keep hydration. But you use it. We use the world system in a multitude of ways. We are always reminded of it when we pick up the mail. I shouldn't say always, often. This bill, that bill, and most of it relates to how we live in the world system. Utilities. I got a bill yesterday. Was it yesterday? I thought I just paid that bill. And it was one of those waste management bills that comes every, 2-3 months. And I thought, something's going on with my clock. I'm still blaming it on Easter. But we can use it. It's okay to use it. We just don't go over the line. And by that, the word is translated here in the AV, abuse, is simply an intensive form of the same verb. It has a kata in front of it, and so we could translate it overuse it. And so the idea of crossing a line is a part of the basic concept with that little kata in front of it to intensify it. So use, yes, but to go too far. The world system is designed to be obsessive. That is, you can become so enamored in the world system that it will, obviously, if you're spiritual, misdirect your love. And you can cross it and use it. And the less of the world system that I better be careful here, we can avoid using, often the better it is. I've been, last few years, trying to cut back on my using the world system in various directions that I have a choice in. And I think I'm better for it. I told Dale today, I said, I have done more reading in the last 2 years. I mean, I can read a book easy in a week. Right right now, I'm 150 pages into the biography of Tommy Franks, the general. And it's 600 pages long. I started it 2 days ago. And it, I mean, I'll probably end up tonight, I'd probably knock off 50 pages. Because my mind, I need that to get my mind off of where my other focus is. And so, and that's world system true, but that's not the only thing I'm reading. And I'm trying to avoid time-consuming parts of the world system. I just kind of have to do that. I don't know. I'm trying to keep body and soul together, you know. And so, the extending beyond this. Now, it says the world system, or the fashion of the world system, is passing away. It's really interesting, some of the things we look at and find essential in the world system that we let become important to us, and then things change. The word fashion is the word schema. And it has the idea of the outside appearance. It's external. It's the other side of morpha or morphe. Morphe is form. Schema is appearance. And back when I was in the last part of my seminary career in San Francisco, I was preaching a lot, and then I couldn't do like I do now. I mean, it's really a rare day that I do the same message twice. If I'm in a conference and I've got PowerPoint and all that work done, I don't think it hurts anybody to have the same message to... I feel better using the visuals more than once. I mean, it's just so much work. And so, and I know the folks at Valley appreciate it when I do a PowerPoint with it. And so, anyway, when the world system, I've got myself in a position with the world system, and I'm not over the bounds with PowerPoint. Because when I started doing conferences, I used an overhead. I did a lot of visuals. And I saw how it worked. I saw how much I could do with it. I saw how I could lever my way through material and deliver more with a big punch, with a punch, by using that. That's world system, pure unadulterated. And I feel that learning how to do it and to do the material I bring in graphically is okay. But I spend my time, that's one reason I don't do it every Sunday. I don't have the time. When I was in El Sobrani, I did overhead transparencies for all of my messages. And so I use an overhead morning and evening as far as my regular Sunday services. Because it was, I've always felt audio visual, or visual at least, is helpful. And so that was my goal. But you know, if I did it every Sunday, I'm afraid I'd cross the line. Because it would kill my time to do all of that work and to use the world system in that way, and I think it would be overused. And so it's better to have a piece of candy once in a while rather than to have it all the time. And so, I mean, I'm using that as an illustration. But it's interesting, my illustration, and I don't know if you caught what I was doing with it, started with overhead. You know what I was using for overhead transparencies? Somebody had, I'm trying to remember, I think it was in the school. You know, they do the x-ray film. It was blue, and they were big, and you could cut them, and they come out 8.5 by 11 sheets. And so I would end up with stacks of overhead film until somebody got the idea that they could take that blue, and which was silver nitrate, and take the silver off of them, and then I couldn't get them anymore. So then I had to use those plastic, you know, with a black sheet in them, and you put in a notebook. So I'd cut out the edges of those and use those. And now I don't have to use any of that stuff. As long as the bulb works on the projector, you know. That's the world system. It's changing. And I'm stuck back here. I mean, I don't have caller ID. I don't have an answering machine. You know, there are a lot of things that I don't have. I'm not on Facebook. I mean, these are things that are totally unimportant to me because they change. I do read about the changes, but I'm not that involved in them. I kind of like to have an idea what somebody's talking about once in a while. You know, the difference between a beeper and a tweeter. You know, tweeters mean their tweeting is different than what a tweeter was. And that kind of thing. But that's the world system. In other words, it's what you get from the world system is going to be gone. And all of this stuff we accumulate related to the world system, and much of it's important to us. And we've learned to use it. If somebody came in from outer Slobovia into my house, they wouldn't know how to cook. And mine primitive. Not that primitive, though. You know, I mean, how could they run a foreman? They probably learn pretty fast, you know, in that matter. I could just imagine some of them had never seen a toaster, you know, and that. And so it's passing away. It's not long, and the world system is going to be gone. Now, in John 17, we also know something about it, and it's always a challenge. And it's, you know, I as a pastor cannot tell somebody directly that they're overusing the world system and that they're becoming a part of it. There's a line there again. It's between them and the Lord. If they learn the spiritual life, they have divine instructions. And if they're not living the spiritual life, that's more important than what they're doing with the world system. And it's so easy to become critical of saints who have a problem with becoming a part of the system. John 17:11 says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." Another one of those divine gestures. You can see the motion of his hand toward the disciples. "And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." And so he says, I'm not going to be in the world system anymore. But these that I have before me are. Now in verse 14, we're moving more into where it's key. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And so these guys, they weren't using buttons, and they were wearing funny hats. Instead of driving cars, they were driving buggies. No. Some Christians have said, you know, that's the world system. And there are issues with those groups of, I want to call them Anabaptists. They have Anabaptist antecedents. The European Anabaptists. And so, because they're not seen as being of the world system, there are certain things that they, or things they would not use and would not do. "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou keep them from the evil one." And here's a link with Satan and the world system. The evil one permeates that system. And as we started earlier, I mentioned the fact that that world system, if you want an overall reason for the world system, is to cause somebody to act independent of God. And that's, you know, that's a prime el primo attack of Satan. But Satan designs it so that you will be independent of God. And so he says, "Even as I am not out of the world." And he said, they're in it, but they're not of it. You're in it, you're not of it. You don't have to be so taken up with the world system that it will affect your ability to function as a bondslave of Jesus Christ. And that's what the world system tries to do. Well, you can just be a Christian. You don't have to be involved with this and this and this and this. And it's so interesting. They just can't fathom what a Christian does voluntarily. Of course, we can't grasp what they do voluntarily on the other side on it. I always smile at what the world system can do because I've seen it with my grandkids. How, as they got going, my kids, son-in-law and daughter, wanted them to be in pretty good physical shape. Wanted to make sure that they were doing things physically. And so they encouraged them to, they encouraged them to play soccer and, well, different sports. And so you get in soccer, they were playing soccer before they were playing on the school soccer teams and all of that, and I understand what soccer moms are and what it meant. And when you have two kids, 2 years apart, and they're playing soccer, I mean, they'd have games going on in different towns at the same time, and oh, it was a zoo on it, and it was just overwhelming. I mean, their lives were devoted to that element of the world system. Practices 3 or 4 nights a week, and on and on and on. And Debbie was so happy when the world system took over their soccer business, and they were riding school buses rather than riding mom and dad's car. That still meant they would attend some of the events. But the world system, and you can be so identified with it. And that's between you and the Lord, bottom line. I mean, it's just that's where it's at. And if there are things that are out of hand, you know, maybe a gentle spirit-led nudge to say maybe you're devoting a little more time to this than you ought to, or something, you know, but you better be led. If you're not, all you're doing is meddling. And I have that, I mean, as a pastor, sometimes I see that. I want to be so clearly led if I'm going to be involved in pointing something out. I'd like to think that the word, when it's preached, will do the job on it. If it isn't preached and it's not handled, then maybe we ought to get our hands on it. That's what happens. Some of the pastors kind of run people's lives, and it's sad. But it says we're in the world, we're not of it. We don't have our origin in it. So we use it and don't abuse it, and we're in it but not of it. And so, yes, Christ was in the world system, but it's interesting, when you live godly, and he doesn't use the word godly here in this text, because godliness is a mystery that hasn't been revealed until later. But if you're living godly in Christ Jesus in the world system, I don't know what's so weird about them, but there are individuals in the world system that certainly dislike you. And the word that Christ uses here, they'll hate you on that. And it's really interesting when that happens. And so that's verse 18 of chapter 15 of John, where it says, if the world will hate you, if the world will hate you, or since the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. He's talking about the components of the people who are in the world system. And when you live godly in Christ Jesus, you get persecution. And again, you don't have godly again, but you have 16:13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Oops, that's not the verse I want. I'm reading the wrong one. 33. I'm just 20 verses back. If I read long enough, we'd get there. These things have I said, have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Where tribulation has the idea of pressure. So the word there is used for tribulation, period. And so it's the idea of being under pressure. To use an old southern description, they would say you're between a rock and a hard place. So the pressure is, and he said that you'll be tribulated. That works too, in that matter. And so that, I mean, that is something that's very, very important. Okay, let's look at 17:18, since we didn't quite get that far. 17:18 says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world system. we're not here just because we want to be here. I mean, as when we are saved, we're sent, and then we're where we want him, where he wants us to be. And that's kind of interesting. It's always an interesting opportunity to make certain that's where we are. And we talk about the will of God and that kind of thing. But he puts us in a world system where we are so that we can use it but not abuse it. We can be in it but not of it. And so where we live in the world system, it's very, very important to realize that often we don't pick where we want to be. And it's really funny how God does things. I know when I knew I was being led to Oregon. I did not want to come to Oregon. I never thought Oregon was any part of any plan I ever had. I was glad to go through it, and I was glad to get out of it, because we went back and forth sometimes through Oregon. And God led me, and I thought, you know, being in California, the San Francisco area isn't exactly the greatest place in many ways, but I really, really, really did enjoy it. It gets hot, dry, dusty, nasty. Where we live, sometimes we'd have the cold in June and July and August coming through the Golden Gate and coming right down in our direction. And we'd have fog in the morning and be 60 degrees out. And I'd sell paint to people where it was 100 degrees because it was that much different because of the way the weather patterns were. I never want to leave the Bay Area. I went back there and said, I thank you, Father. I'm so glad I'm not here. You know? And I'm thankful I'm here. But I'm just a pilgrim, stranger here. And that there are a lot of reasons that I don't like Oregon in many ways. Especially when it rains all the time and we aren't going to get any tomatoes. I almost made the big decision today. And that was, I might not grow tomatoes. That'd be the first time I haven't even tried. It's just so late. And I don't know. We'll see what God has in that. Okay. Is it necessary to separate from the world system? This was a good subject. When when I preached this material, let's see, I think I preached it probably 2 or 3 years in El Sobrante. And it was real easy to preach it there because we were in a regular Baptist church, which was a separatist church. And there was enough legalism in the garb, in the association of churches, to make up for anything you dream up, almost. I mean, it was interesting being out in the churches the way I was and talking to pastors. It seemed like a lot of pastors decided they wanted these young guys that were training for ministry who came and sang in their church and preached in their church. They weren't getting adequate lessons in college, so they wanted to lecture us. And some of them were good, some of them weren't. It was just kind of interesting. But it was also interesting to know how much legalism there was in some of the churches. And in different ways. I still smile. One quartet tour. And when was it? Was it a midterm election? We went in, we were out, and we were probably in 40 or 50 churches over part of a summer. And we almost got to the point where we thought that most of the churches should have been called First Republican Baptist Churches. I mean, they had John Birch material on the tables. All of this stuff, that was the political part of it was so important to them. Then we had the abortion issue, and still do. Some people are very, very, churches are very, very involved in the abortion issue, and that's their thing. And so there are a lot of things that involve separation, things you didn't do, and so you. And in Bible college, I know we certainly got pounded with some of the things you didn't do. You know, you didn't go to movies. If you were caught in a movie, you'd probably get kicked out of school. And then the gal who taught the class on, Christian Life of Witness or something like that, an ex-missionary, And she would come in class and tell us those things we're not supposed to do. You don't go to the movies. But Cinerama was just awesome. I just had a great time over in this theater in San Francisco. And it was, you know, then I think somebody had the nerve to ask her about the appearance of evil. And she'd talk about it in class. And it was, you know, the latest and greatest. And the way they call Max's now, something like that. In McMinnville, that's beside the water park. That opened Monday, I think. So it's interesting. Okay, 1 John 4:17 is where yes. First John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, and it's been placed in a state of perfection or completion, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." Now that last line is very important. As he is, and the antecedent to this, there's an interesting question as to whether it's the Son, the Savior, or you've got Jesus, the Son of God in 15, but then you have the God is love in 17. But either way, as he is, so are we. That's related. Our position in Christ at least separates us from the world. And so we are separated because of our salvation. It is not something that we've had to conjure up and do. And so I think that verse is very helpful when we think in these terms, in this matter. Now, in 1 John 4, as we look back into this context related to the world system and think about it, 1 John 4, it's interesting some of the constituents that are involved in the world system. 1 John has a lot to say about the world system. He starts out, he says, "Believe not every, beloved, believe not every spirit," verse 1, "but prove for their value the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world." And so you have this world system that has false spirits and false prophets. And whenever we read false prophets, these are liars. The word false is a word to lie. And so that's a part of it. False spirits. And it's interesting how often you see that problem among, well, Christendom and those who are on the periphery of it. Where they'll come, it's almost a way, I mean, it's pretty, unless you're really, really led, I'm talking to myself here, it's hardly worth time to talk to a Jehovah's Witness. It's just, they are so blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 is compounded, I think, in some of their minds. The God of this age has put the blind on them, and I think they're so blind, they remind me of these guys I've been studying today. What a bunch of rats, these false teachers. I'm not really setting you up for Sunday. Anyway, verse 3, "Hereby we know the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Interesting little rule of thumb. It's funny how some of the cults understand a little of that, but they wiggle around it in that way. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that one of the Antichrist. And he's talking about against Christ or in place of Christ. Always remember, anti, anytime you see anything anti, it can be against, or it can be in place of. And many times you're going to see when that anti is used in Scripture, it's in place of. I mean, we use that term often. I shouldn't say we. Some use this term often of the first beast of Revelation 13 and call him the Antichrist. He's called the man of lawlessness or the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians. when he, it's never used to him. This is one of the few places where it's used. But he is. He's trying to replace Christ, himself with Christ. And you can see he does the same three miracles that Christ did. He has his own message. He has his own prophet, and on and on. And so he identifies that issue, this spirit of Antichrist. And I put in the notes, found twice in 2:18. It's found in 2:22 and over in 2 John 7 plus here. So there are only four occurrences. Let's read on in verse 4. You are of God, little born ones, and have overcome them. And the word overcome is a word for victory. You have gained victory. You are in a state of having victory over these in your position in Christ. Because greater is he that is in you because of your regeneration than he that is in the world. And that verse is a very, very important one. That old question that gets so confused is, can a believer be demon-possessed? Is impossible. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan himself can't indwell you, and so how in the world can a wimpy demon, a principality or power, indwell you? So think in those terms, out of this verse. Okay. Verse 5. They are out of the world as to origin, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And so you have these, and the option is, we are of God. We have a different relationship to the creator of the universe than they do. We are not in a state of rebellion. And so we have won a victory. We're in a state of having victory over the world system. And it doesn't have to distract us. Now remember, let's go and review. Sounds like a good idea. Three enemies. Satan is in A.
He's a person.
Yeah, a person.
No, I'm using the approach. Okay, sin nature is an A.
Appetite.
Okay.
Attack.
There we go. An attack, an appetite, and the world system is an
appeal.
See, I mean, those are that's such an easy way to identify these things. And it's an appeal. It's a billboard. It's out there trying to suck you into the product. And it does everything it can. And it's so interesting when you look at the way advertising works in this world system. And so the world system says, you can do better. Get this laxative.
How's that better?
And then it's funny, it's just snake oil medicine, kind of some of this kind of thing that's on the market. What did I see today? It was weird because it sneaked up on me. I didn't know that it was an ad, and then I got in and I usually, you know, do the page clip, and it was in a magazine, and I finally found the fine print that said advertisement. And I started with it, and it was a magazine that dealt with that kind of products. And so I thought, oh boy, the advertisement. Okay, so as far as being separated from the world system, we are separated in Christ, and Christ in us. Because of the two sides of regeneration, when we read that verse, remember, you know, it's both sides. That's where we are. That's what we're doing in Woodburn. Right, I mean, we've gone through all the results of regeneration in this class, in that class. Then we clicked over and went through position, just position, no possessions. We just went through the in Christ, because that's the key to handling it. And we just got our leg up to go in last night to show how your position in Christ activates your regeneration. You know, how you have to be in living in your position and have your head in the right place so that God can do the work to activate those parts of regeneration. You know, you're out of the way, then the persons of Godhead can do the work. If you go mess with it, you've got mud on your hands, you're going to dirty things up. And so that's where we're working. And at this last session, you can imagine that last little session doing that in 12 weeks. We could have some fun with that, in that matter. And so that works. Now, the believer is crucified and dead to the world system and its elements, and I have the verse at the bottom of page 101, and that's Galatians 4:3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage to the elements of the world system. In bondage. We were enslaved to the elements. The basic components of the world system. This word is the word that is used in Colossians. It refers to the universe. It happens again in 2 Peter 3. And it's the word that we saw in the forum when we were talking about the ABCs in Hebrews 5. It's stoikeo. And so, in this case, here we are. It says, we were in bondage to the world, the elements of the world system. Now let me get back to Galatians 4:3. I put these passages in so I can hurry, and then I have to go and look them up anyway. Just because. Okay. And the reason I have to is that Galatians handles a lot of this too. Okay. And so, what happens... This is in a context, and the reason I need to go back, where you have this description of the law, and under law, there were certain things that govern. It's interesting if you look at law versus world system. We've talked about how the law and the world system both are designed to control the works of the flesh. So when we know that, he's talked about being under tutors, and it's a dispensation passage. And then when the fullness of time was come, Christ came. So there are elements of the world system. Now let's carry on to 6:14, because there is what Christ has done in our relationship to him. And I'm being careful, but I can use the word identification with Christ, because we are related to our position there. In 6:14 of these short books get me. That's Ephesians I'm reading there. Okay. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me. And it's interesting the order of words in the text. It says, to me, the world is crucified. The focus is on the fact I am dead to the world. And it's been crucified to me, and I am to the world. And the focus is upon your position related to the world. And so we are dead, and the solution is in our position. Now, let's go over to Colossians 2, and you can see how these elements that we read about back in chapter 4 of Galatians are, whatever you want to call them, nullified, dealt with, Colossians chapter 2 and our verses 20. And here's that word elements again, and you can see it where it says, wherefore, if you be, or since you are dead, together with Christ. And here's one of those places where you have a soon by itself. Colossians does that, by the way. There are not a lot of those soons by themselves. But here you're dead together with Christ from the elements of the world system. Why, as living in the world system, are you dogmatized by these elements? What are some of the dogma? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which things are... Or which things, that's a plural, it's interesting, is all for the corruption in the use, according to the injunctions and the doctrine to be believed but not practiced of men. And we won't read on down because the punch is there in 20. You died together with Christ. And so your position. And so you have soon by itself there, you have soon by itself in 3, you have soon by itself in 4. And assumed by itself in 9, and it's in compound forms in 3, 1, and chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 14. Just, that was free. A lot of that material is in the price book on that. And that chart summarizes it. Okay, fondness for the world system and love for the world system. In James chapter 4, we have this matter of being fond for the world system. Now remember, James is early. James is addressed to some Jewish Christians who haven't quite shaken their Judaism. But it's an important stimulus here because of what is said. So in the James 4:4, I want to read that and then we'll go back and hustle. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be fond of a friend of the world, fond of the world, is an enemy of God. And so both of those friendships are phileo terms. They relate to fondness or having an affection for the world system. Pretty hard-nosed here when he talks about it. How does this affect the believer when we look in this passage? Well, look at the context, and you'll see, I have a question in your notes, is what role does fondness play in carnality? Fondness is just, it's just an undergirding of a lot of carnal things and how the world system will control your sin nature. And let's just take a moment to look in chapter 3:14. What do we have? If you have bitter envying, interesting that you have bitter and envying together. Bitterness is an attack of Satan. The word envying is the word zeal. And so if you have this bitter, pointed, pique, pique sounds to me like a pointed, pokey kind of thing, like being needled. And that's an adjective here to describe the zeal, a work of the flesh. And strife, rivalry, another work of the flesh in your hearts. Don't boast or exult over it, it's thoroughly boast. And lie against the truth. And so you have an attack of Satan in this matter of lying. But in your notes, I just say you've got six works of the flesh and three attacks of Satan. Then we go on down. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. The word sensual, by the way, is natural. Happens to be a term that we'll deal with in Second Peter, Lord willing, on Sunday. For where there is envying, that's zelos, again, the work of the zeal or jealousy, there is confusion and tumult, and every useless practice, phallos, it's not good for anything. I mean, it's fallow ground. Nothing is being produced by it. And then he gives the other side of it. And so it's pretty interesting if you go back and look, let's go on in chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your body, member. You lust and you have not. It's interesting because the word lust here is often tied to that thou shalt not covet in the Ten Commandments. You kill. And the word for kill in verse 2 is the word for murder. It's the same word that's in Galatians 5, except it's a textual problem in Galatians 5. You desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. And you have not because you ask not. Verse 4, of course, you have adulterers and adultery, which is works of the flesh. So you see, this fondness for the world system can really involve the way your works of the flesh work. If you're not spiritual, that's what's going to happen. If you're spiritual, then you go back to chapter 2, and that's where we have the misdirecting of the agape love, and that takes us back to the point down on underneath James 4:4 on number 3 and on page 102, 1 John chapter 2 and 15. And there it says, stop, prohibitive imperative, stop loving, stop doing something you're already doing. Stop loving the world system, and the things that are in the world system. So he makes it rather clear what he's talking about, and then he's going to identify them, and we've been through this so many times already. If any man misdirects his love to the world system, then he can't direct that love to the Father. It's not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So, at the moment of salvation with the baptism of the Spirit, the solution came. In Christ, you have the victory over these problems and these issues that are a part of our existence. And so the world system is going to use, I mean, it's going to function all the way around a carnal Christian. You're going to have an opportunity to love it because you don't have love to do it. You know, my little bulletin cover that says, if you don't have it, you can't use it. And I had a little weird fruit kind of thing. I tried to make it so weird, didn't I? You can't identify it with any other kind of fruit. I didn't decide to do a pickle. I did that at a conference in California, and I said that was the fruit on the tree in the garden. So the last meeting we had here, they make a presentation. They had gone and they'd made a pickle tree. I couldn't bring it home in the airplane. But everybody, you know, they learn. That's what happens when you use these weird illustrations. But the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, you know, keep on being filled by the Spirit wherein is, the focus is there. There's no unsavingness in that. The fruit of the Spirit in 5:22. The possibility, loving like God does. We won't look up Romans 5:5 because that's somewhat familiar. And we overcome the world system. We have that privilege of being victors over it, living in our victory. And that makes a difference. But if we're spiritual, we have to watch our agape love. And we all have these little susceptibilities in the world system. And it's interesting what it can do. And I don't know. I mean, I look at it in my life. I have to kind of look at the susceptibilities, and sometimes I have to change those. I mean, I have to really outright reject something that I really enjoy, or cut back on it so much that it's odd. You know, for me to not go to at least one football game somewhere in the area in a year or two or three, I've cut back, and I've gotten to the point I don't miss them. And I don't. I mean, when I quit watching TV, the whole thing was going to determine whether I was going to want to get that TV running, and I got the stuff to make it digital. But the thing was, is whether I could survive football season. 2 years of it, I think we've won on it. And so, it doesn't mean I don't enjoy it anymore. The only reason I bought a TV in the first place was so I could watch football. And I think it was really funny, my TV, it was great. Every game I watched was in the snow. The old snowy black and white on it. But we bought it for that, and I've kind of determined that with my schedule and my time, I didn't have time for a lot of that. Because, I mean, that's just me. I mean, that's a susceptibility I have. If I had a sports channel on the TV, I would be watching Australian rules football all the time. And I think they still have it on, I don't know. I mean, that's almost as good as hockey, as far as violence, you know, gladiators, anyway. But, I mean, it would be easy to misdirect love. I mean, I know because I read. But I'm not concerned as to whether the NFL is going to play this fall or not. That's saying a lot for me. To say I don't care. Of course, I do happen to like the college game pretty well. And so, I mean, that's an example. But there are other things in the world system. on it. I sometimes take advantage of people who love the world system. I'm not so gung-ho to have a computer that's the latest and greatest, but I have a son who's into the latest and greatest, so I end up often with the latest and greatest and have to fight through new software. Yeah. The world system is using me in that case. Anyway, but you can think of those kinds of things in your life. It's so easy to let our love be misdirected. And then we have those who can become a world lover. And just a spiritual Christian who just continues to direct his love there, and it affects the ability for God to use that love in another way. You know, 1 John 2 talks about directing it toward the Father. But don't forget, when you direct it toward the Father, what the story is. How do you show your love for the Father? By loving the brethren. You're loving one another. I should have brought those extras. How long ago was that? 04. Did you have the one? Yeah, you might have that one another chart. I had a handout of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I handed it. Mentioned it last time and handed it out. Cheryl, he's got one for you.
Yeah. She's got it.
Yeah. Yeah, he found an extra one. He didn't hand it back in.
I knew it had a good use for it.
Yeah, I'm not complaining in the least. Okay. So, we understand that the world system is an appeal. It's trying to draw us out, control our sin nature. If it can draw it out and put us into that control, then it's doing its thing. And we act independent of God if the world system is controlling us because we're carnal. We just realize the fact that in Christ I have victory. I have victory over Satan and demons. I have victory over the world system, and I have victory over this sin nature of mine. And so that's why position is so important. I died to it, and the best part of it is I'm alive. And I don't have to have that for my life. And so that was an application. That was a review question. So we have to stop abusing our agape love in that direction. Now, I just put some keys in the box on the bottom. Sometimes you like these summaries, and when I can do it in one, I mean, just lying, it should... You know, you're in it, but not of it. You're separated from it. You died together with it, from it. You use it, but not abuse it. You live in it, but you don't love it. So that's the summary of where we are and where we've been related to the world system. So 103 pages of notes is a couple pages on it. I debated whether to try to write another exam. And... I've been happy with the exam I've used in here. So if any of you have been through this before, don't look at your old exam. I'll try to get it posted at church. Now, what did I do with my exam? I have it. Okay. See, I need a secretary all the time. Carissa does it for me down there. Exception. Page 11.
I must not have looked at him.
Sorry about this. That is weird. Why is this teaching on top of him?
I have 1 through 10. And then
it jumps
to 20.
Oh. I have
so write it down and I'll go run some. Okay. Yeah. Well, I gave you what I had.
Yeah.
Is what happened, and I didn't have everything on it.
I'm glad we just reviewed that.
there was a good
arthark.
Yeah. Well.
A mean guy.
But that chart just gives an overview of this, on this. This first chart. And make sure I didn't give anybody too okay, I have an answer key. If you're good, you can write the answer key. I'm sure I have an answer key somewhere, but I don't know where it is offhand. So, take it home, and like I said, I'll try to post this up on the board at Valley. And
pardon?
Well, you read the last of the last page, the last little paragraph. The real examination for this class is the rest of your life here on earth. I trust that you will enjoy the blessings of present and salvation to the fullest as you live by these great truths of God's word. That's there on purpose. Okay, so like I said, you can have some fun with it and read my questions. Once in a while, I'll make you smile, but sometimes I don't. So, Father, we're grateful for the evening, this quarter, the year, the good times that we've had in your word. We pray that you'd bless in special ways as we have the opportunity to go through the exam material just because it's a good review, and may it be a tool as part of the class, and we will be so grateful in Christ's name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You say here related to inside or outside. Is that how they attack?
Mm-hmm. Well, attack.
Okay,
it's obvious where the attack. I mean, this is a dumb set of boxes in a way, because if you got the A's right, you probably have it figured out. Now, you see what... what happens here, essentially, without the list of attacks or the list of appetites or the list of appeals, this is the chart, the summary chart.
Okay.
And so if you have a handle on that, and then the rest. Now, we may have, I don't think we'll have any disagreement about the dominant, the subtle, and the intelligent in it. To fill in the black blanks. Will be, I think, of value. And so, that's part of it. Okay, great. Thank you. It's been a fun quarter.
Thank you.
On that. So.
Thank you very much.
Only a pot of crop. You're welcome.
Pardon me.
I mean, moi. No. Now I'm starting to talk. I'm going to talk Greek. I got